You can begin.
Okay, thank you. Morning, everybody. I'll be your acting chairperson today and Chair Case's absence. Member Gahn is also not in attendance today. This is the August 27th, 2021 meeting of the Board of Land and Natural Resources. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. It's 9:01 a.m. We're holding this meeting via Zoom and live streaming on YouTube due to the evolving COVID-19 situation. Written testimony that's been received in the 24 hours prior to the meeting has been distributed to the board. Those who wish to testify orally are in the waiting room. If you can please make sure that you're clearly named on the screen, you'll see your name on the corner of your screen, and that's so that we can know who you are and that I'll let you in when your agenda item that you've signed up for is on. And also, please remember to turn off your YouTube. Many of you will be watching the proceedings on YouTube. Please turn that off when you do enter the meeting and leave the waiting room so that we will not have a feedback problem. Member Kanto, would you please read the standard contested case hearing statement?
Sure. In some of the matters before the board, a person may wish to request a contested case hearing. If such a request is made before the board's decision, then the board will consider the request first before considering the merits of the item before it. A person who wants a contested case may also wait until the board decides the issue, then request the contested case after the decision. It is up to you. Any request must be made in writing within 10 days. If no request for a contested case is made, the board will make a decision. The department will treat the decision as final and proceed accordingly.
Thank you. First up today will be the minutes of June 25th, 2021. Is there any discussion by the board on these minutes? We don't have any public testimony. Does anybody want to make a motion about these?
I move to accept the minutes. Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Oy, seconded by Member Yoon, Kaivi Yoon. And let's, all in favor, please say aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye.
Did we lose Member Char?
Hold on, he's in the waiting room. I'll bring him back in.
Bring him back. You know, I think we need to re-vote that. And Member Kanto was not at that meeting, so I think we need to vote without her.
Okay. Okay, he's back in.
Now, if something comes up, don't click on it. Just wiggle your mouse, okay? Did you hear what I said?
Yeah, but I don't hear anything.
Okay.
Okay.
Member Char, I wasn't sure how much of what happened you got. We lost you at a certain point. We are considering the minutes of June 25, 2021. Mm-hmm. We had a motion and a second, and we're going to take a vote again because you weren't.
I think I was not at that meeting, so I can't vote anyhow, but fine. Thank you.
I think we need to defer that again.
Oh, again? Okay.
We have three members present who were at that meeting, so we can't vote with members that were not present. We don't have, we won't be able to get four votes on that. So we'll defer the minutes for June 25, 2021. And we'll go on to the M items. B, beginning with the airports matters.
Hold on, I'll let them in.
Okay.
I lost them for a minute. Okay. Let's see.
Abby LaRue, we're going to start with M1, and the other airport matters. Would you start off, us off, please, with M1 and go on to the rest of what you have?
Sure. Thank you. Good morning. M1 for Airports Division is the issuance of a revocable permit for aircraft parking for Ms. Ai Vu. This is a personal hangar at the South Ramp in Honolulu. Do you want me to go through the rest of them as well? Or just M1?
Let's see here. We have some testimony for the helicopter parking. And so why don't we do M1 separately? Then why don't you introduce us to M2, 3, and 4 together. Explain those, then we'll stop and take public testimony that we have on M2, 3, and 4, and then the board will deal with those after we get the public testimony.
Okay, thank you. So M1, we did M1, so...
We haven't voted on it yet.
Right, so do you have any questions regarding M1?
Members, I don't believe, let me just double check, but I don't believe there's any public testimony on M1. Yes, we do not have any public testimony, so members, if you have any questions or otherwise a motion would be in order.
Move approval of M1. Per staff recommendation.
Second.
It's been moved by Member Char, seconded by Member Oy to approve M1 per the staff recommendation. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes unanimously. Now let's go on, and I think we can do M2, 3, and 4 together. We'll wait to vote on those till we hear the public testimony.
Okay, thank you. So M2 is again, aircraft parking. So this is for a revocable permit for aircraft parking at Daniel K. Inouye International Airport for the company Flying Mermaid. I think that I know that there's public testimony on M2. M2 is not helicopters. M2 is specifically fixed-wing aircraft. And this company does do aircraft leasing. They do not have an air tour permit. So I just wanted to make that clear for item M2. Item M3 it's the same thing, it's a T-hanger for Mr. Schumann Aviation Company, doing business as Magnum Helicopters. I wanted to advise the board that this company is downsizing his operations in Honolulu and has sold his FBO hangar. So while he's depleting his personal items, he's renting or leasing a T-hanger for storage for his helicopter as well as personal items as he moves out of the large hangar that he has on the South Ramp at Honolulu. So again, he does have an air tour permit. Specifically, this is just for T-hanger storage of his aircraft and for personal items because of a downsizing of his operations in Honolulu. So that's item M3. Then we have item M4, which is for KNS Helicopters. This again is for aircraft parking in Kahului at Kahului Airport. This operator does have an air tour permit. They probably will be conducting air tours in Maui. but this specific contract is for the aircraft tie-downs. And it is mixed with fixed wings. And I just wanted to let the board know that strategically, the airport managers puts helicopter aircraft on the outer parts of the tie-down locations as well as the backside so as not to to make it easier for them to move in and out of the tie-down locations. And that's M2, 3, and 4. If you have any questions, and I know you have public testimony.
Any questions from the board of DOT staff?
Sure, quick question. For item M2, did you say that they do not have a permit? I'm sorry.
M2 is not a helicopter tour operator, so they do not have a helicopter tour permit. They do aircraft leasing.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we'll go. Any other questions, members? If not, we'll go on to the public testimony.
Michelle Madsen?
Yes. Good morning, board members. I am Michelle Madsen, Oahu Tour Helicopter Safety and Noise Interaction Group. I'm testifying on agenda issues M2, 3, and 4. And we have some recommendations of urgency. Our testimony was very late due to major technical difficulties yesterday. So I will summarize for all three. And regarding M2, we have observed a Flying Mermaid helicopter, tour helicopter, abusing the airspace around Diamond Head State Monument. We have provided screenshots of that and also some testimony as related to all the other tour helicopters. To begin my testimony, despite strong and repeated messages of community outcry by the larger public on Oahu, Kauai, and resolutions adopted by 18 Oahu community boards, several private tour helicopter operators in Hawaii have been and continue to egregiously disregard existing regulations and environmental impacts of their preference to fly wherever, whenever, and however they want. Despite this history of negligence, now comes the state DOT with highly questionable submittals on behalf of three tour helicopter operators wishing to apply for ground facility and ground use permits on state land to benefit their commercial tour activities. Hawaii's private tour helicopter industry has a proven checkered past relating to protection of the public on the ground and the state's natural resources. Our testimony provides a bullet list of 8 commercial helicopter crashes and emergencies in Hawaii, including the NoVictor Robinson 44 crash at Kaneohe Bay Recreational Sandbar, the KNS Paradise Waipio Valley crash on Hawaii Island, KNS Sacred Falls State Park Oahu crash, another NoVictor Robinson 44. The crash was in Kailua on a town street with 3 fatalities. There was a Schumann Magnum emergency landing in Diamond Head State Monument Crater Park with 3,300 daily visitors. That was in May 2019. Also, the Safari Eurocopter crash on Kauai Cliff Face near the Nepali coast with 7 fatalities. In 2016, a fatal tour helicopter crash occurred in Pearl Harbor near the USS Arizona Memorial and the Pearl Harbor nuclear submarine base. Conclusively, Hawaii can no longer risk tour helicopters crashing and burning within Hawaii's protected natural resources, established communities, and coastal nuclear defense areas. Because of the intense, significant adverse impacts to Hawaii's protected natural resources, the revocable permits for tour helicopter ground facilities should clearly include stringent conditions for flying offshore and away from Hawaii's natural resources, state parks and beaches, and established communities. Applicable statutory EIS and administrative rules sections are cited in our testimony, together with FAA Part 136, special operating rules for air tour operators in the state of Hawaii, which stipulates under Section 6 minimum flight altitudes that, quote, that air tours in Hawaii are required to abide by a minimum flight altitude of 1,500 feet above the surface of all areas and landforms of the state of Hawaii and fly no closer than 1,500 feet from any property or person, including those in buildings or on state monument summits. And we have provided screenshots with each testimony in proof of these violations. Additionally, the present permit applications remain insufficient and open-ended, and the reference decades-old environmental assessments and environmental impact statements should be supplemented with current environmental impact reports and protective ground safety and noise measures required to be submitted for each respective tour aircraft ground use permit application. Because today, the significant adverse environmental impacts of our tour helicopters are clearly beyond the airports where they are docked and doing business. Further, revocable ground use permits incorporating essential and long overdue conditions for any approval of airport ground use on state land will also serve as a precedent for DOT Airports Division to equally follow for state airports ground use permits to protect the state's natural and recreational resources and the public's health and safety on the ground. In conclusion, otherwise, those who remain blind to the continuing significant noise impacts and public safety hazards of tour helicopters will continue to be responsible for further compromising the integrity and quality of Hawaii's natural resources in favor of tour chopper operators who fly wherever, whenever, and however they choose, disturbing and desecrating the larger public's rightful peace and quality of life within and around Hawaii's natural resources, parks and beaches, and established communities. And I just like to add that, as I mentioned, the screenshots of the tour flights are attached for your consideration in providing conditions to these permits. Thank you.
Members, any questions? I just wanted to ask our DOT staff and our deputy AG, if there are violations of these air regulations that are specifically of the FAA regulations applying to Hawaii, to whom should complaints be made? Who's responsible for enforcing those?
Okay, are you asking me, DOT Airports?
Well, and our AG, whichever would like to take that. I suppose there's somebody who, you know, you have these FAA regulations. Do you know what, is there an agency within FAA, a sub-agency, or is there some place that takes these kinds of complaints specifically?
I don't know if there's a place that takes specific complaints of noise or safety conditions. I'm basically knowing if there's an aircraft accident that there is an investigation, and I'm sure that there are, you know, that that's an operational question for me. So I'm, you know, I issue contracts. I'm sorry, I couldn't really tell you what the right answer is to that question. Can I find out for you? Certainly.
Okay, that'll be, I think, useful for the board when it receives this kind of information.
Okay.
And I, just for the benefit of any members of the public, the board did receive a letter from the FAA answering the inquiry that the chair sent in May. I believe that's a public document. Maybe our deputy AG is nodding her head up and down. So if anybody would like to see that, I think they can they can make a documents request of the department, and that's become available. That just was received by the department in the last couple of days.
Chris?
I'm sorry, did somebody say something?
Chris, this is Darlene. It is posted on our website under the helicopter submittals. So the public can go and review the letter from the FAA.
Okay. Members, is there any discussion or would any other questions or anybody, would somebody like to make a motion for M2, M3, and M4? Or one of them, any one of them, I guess.
View of the, Chris? Okay. In view of the response that the chair received from the FAA, which is now part of the public record, I move approval, staff recommendation for 2, 3, and 4, and suggest that Ms. Mattson or any other members of the public, if they wish to avail themselves further, that they might review that opinion first. But I so move.
Do we have a second? My member Oys for the seconds.
Yeah, I'll second it because of the letter received from FAA, which regarding this case. But I would think we should look into Michelle Mattson's complaint about who's responsible for policing airspace.
Okay. It's been moved by Member Char, seconded by Member Oy, to approve M2, M3, and M4. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. M2, 3, and 4 unanimously approved. I'd appreciate it if DOT airports would, this will probably come up again, and be ready to talk to us about where specifically the public should make complaints about violations of the FAA regulations regarding tour helicopter operations in Hawaii.
I will get that information for you.
Okay, thanks very much. And if you would go ahead now with, we have M5. Why don't we take these separately?
Okay. M5 is a revocable permit request for transportation company operations for Polynesian Adventure Tours in Kahului Airport. This is a overflow lot that we have in Maui. And we have an air tour, not an air, see, I'm still stuck on the air tour thing. Vehicles, buses, Polynesian Adventure Tours, requesting space for parking their vehicles. Item M5.
Members, we don't have any public testimony. If there aren't any questions, or would somebody care to make a motion on M5?
To approve.
And Member Oy second. Okay, so all in favor of M5?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes unanimously. Let's go to M6.
M6 is a commuter terminal storage space for Southern Airways Express doing business as Mokulele Airlines. At this time, we're currently still in the process of converting all Mokulele aircraft spaces into Southern Airways Express. So this is just if any additional spaces they need, this is what we're doing here. And this is just commuter storage space in Maui.
Okay. We have no public testimony on this. If there are any questions from the board or would someone care to make a motion, Member Kanto?
Yes, I move to approve.
All right, and second?
Second.
I'm not sure who got there first, but I'm going to give it to Member Char as the second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? That passes unanimously. And let's go to the final one for airports, which is M7.
The final request is for a revocable permit for a construction laydown space in the at Kona for Nan, I believe it's for Nan Inc. for a state project construction laydown space.
We don't have any public testimony on this. Would anybody care to make a motion? Or is there any, as long as there are no questions from the board?
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, so it's been moved by Member Oy, seconded by Member Kanto. Please, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that passes unanimously. Thank you, Ms. LaRue.
Thank you.
Let's go to DOT Harbors for M8.
Good morning, board members. Jennifer Tomita, property manager with DOT Harbors, here to answer any questions you have on item M8.
We do not have any public testimony, members.
Move approval.
Do we have a second? Okay, well, that's been moved by Member Char, seconded by Member Kaivi Yun. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
You opposed? Okay, and that passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to go on to the Division of Forestry and Wildlife, and we have item C1. Go ahead, either Dave Smith or John Polly for item C1.
Hi, yes, we have completed a management plan for the Kahikangi Forest Reserve in Leeward Haleakala. It went through division and partner review and has also gone through public review. All the comments were included in the submittal for the review, but we're recommending that the board approve the management plan as submitted. I'm here to take any questions that you guys may have.
And for the record, that was Jan Polly.
Yes.
Let me just state your position with DOFOG.
My name is Jan Polly. I'm a planner with the Division of Forestry and Wildlife out of the admin office. I support statewide.
Thank you. Any questions, members? We do not have any public testimony on this.
Can I say something, Chris, real quick?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, I'd just like to applaud the forestry section for their work on this. I mean, it's a really elegant management plan, I think. Very nicely done, very thorough, and Jan's been leading a lot of the efforts for our planning out of the forestry section and deserves a lot of credit. It's we're trying to get forest reserve plans either written either initially and or, you know, renewed for all of our forest reserves, and this is part of an ongoing effort. And this new generation of management plans is very, very nicely done.
I'd like to echo that. It's a great plan and great job, Jan.
Thank you.
I learned a lot from reading the report. The one area that I was a little bit concerned about was the removal of the goats, which seemed to be invading this area, and a very difficult time getting into, for hunters to get into the area. I noticed that there was a helicopter or air plan to eradicate some in the past, but I'm not sure how effective that is. Could you comment further on that goat problem?
Sure. So 2/3 of the forest reserve is already fenced and the animals have been removed, and it's pigs, deers, and goat. There are plans to hopefully fence out some of the Makai portions of the forest reserve. We don't have the funding for it yet. We did receive a lot of comments from the community about being involved in the animal removal. Maui DOFA has been very good about working with the community and removing animals from multiple areas. The difficulty with Kahiki Nui is the access. There's no vehicular public access. It's pretty difficult, and we don't have legal access. We've been trying to renegotiate that with neighboring landowners and exploring multiple access routes, but we don't have anything in place right now. So access is pretty much restricted to helicopter or walking in with special permission. Aceda area removal of animals has been very efficient for the Mauka portion of the forest reserve. As you can see from the photographs, there wasn't forest cover over much of the reserve. So because it's so open, it's very effective.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments, members? If not, do we have a motion? Member Kanto?
Second. We'll accept the staff recommendation.
Okay, so that's been moved by Member Kanto, seconded by Member Kaivi Yun. Please, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? And that's unanimous. Thank you very much.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Aloha. And we'll go ahead now to the D items, land division. And land division can get started with D1.
Chris, I'm going to go ahead and let everybody who is going to testify for the D items into the room.
And just for the members' sake, I think that the only outside, well, I think we have non-staff for one item.
Russell, D1.
Okay, one second.
Okay.
Okay, good morning, board members. Russell Tsuji for Land Division. D1, first off, if I can make an amendment to this submittal, it's a right of entry for the beach volleyball contest tournament, the Dinosaur Beach Volleyball Tournament at Kalapaki Beach. Because of the situation with the COVID right now, the applicant requested to delay the tournament until April, for the following days, April 21 through 24 of 2022. And so that'll be a amendment to page 2, term of right of entry, and to change that to April 2022. Otherwise, I don't have any changes to this submittal. Request available for questions if you have any.
Again, Russell, Tommy Oy.
Yes.
That land wasn't under an RP. So.
The beach area?
Yeah.
Or the?
I thought because they maintain the beach and they about the rubbish and they flatten it.
Or like a maintenance RP or something?
I thought it was one.
Might. I'm not sure, that could be, but normally on those are not like exclusive rights. Yeah, they're like just simply for like maintenance. We have several of those in a form of RP. We have some in Maui like that where it's basically landscaping, but it's open to the public.
Yeah, that's because it says that unencumbered.
Yeah, so it might be maybe. Unencumbered, I guess they meant it in the sense that it's open and available.
Yeah, I just wanted to, I thought there was one. But anyway.
It could have been, but we normally treat those simply when they ever have the kind, just for maintain the beach or the grounds and stuff like that. Keep it open. Kanamoku Beach has maybe not an RP, but they have an obligation under the beach, a concession agreement to actually clean the beach. They change the trash cans. They use the machine every day to
okay.
On the sand.
No, I just talked to just thinking from before, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But then it's okay.
Any other questions, members? We don't have any public testimony on this.
Move to approve D1 as submitted.
There was an amendment suggested.
As amended.
Of April 2022.
Do we have a second? Okay, so it's been moved by Roy, seconded by Member Compto. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That passes unanimously. Russell, would you move to D2?
Yeah, D2 is another request for right of entry to Goodfellows for temporary construction equipment and material staging area. And this is in connection with the Department of Ag's water project that they're doing out in the Hana area. And they found a parcel that was suitable after consulting with the community. I don't have anything to add on.
Members, any questions of staff? We don't have any public testimony. If not, do we have a motion?
Move to approve.
Thank you. That's Member Compto, and we have a second.
Second.
Seconded by Member Oy. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? That passes unanimously. Russell, would you move to D3?
Yeah, D3 is another right of entry for a surfing contest at Koki Beach on Maui. I don't have anything to add on this submittal.
Any questions of staff? We don't have any public testimony.
Move to approve, Chair.
Second. Member Young. Second, moved by Member Compto, seconded by Member Kaigi Yun. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? And that passes unanimously. And Russell, if you'd move to D4, we have somebody representing the applicant here, and we'll give them a chance to talk after staff goes ahead.
Okay, D4 is requesting an assignment, consent to an assignment of Raymond M. Judd III's 1/6 undivided interest in his certificate of occupancy to his trust, or his family trust, Raymond M. Judd III Family Land Trust. This looks pretty straightforward. I don't have anything to add. Do you have any questions?
I have a question about these certificates of occupancy. About how many do we have, and is this an administrative issue dealing with them? You know, it seems like these assignments come to the...
It's a similar in connection with the homestead leases, yeah.
Yes.
The occupancy was the first, I think. And they had to do certain things, and then they get the lease, but in effect, they're occupying the property. We have about 50 of these on the books, and they're going to be there for a while, the longest lease I've ever seen in my life.
I'm just wondering how different.
I certainly was encouraging the purchase, and they actually had the right to purchase. The problem was not the problem, but the law required that they pay fair market value, basically full value of the land. Yeah, and that's how. And some did try, some got it, some went into like they had to take out a payment over time. And remember the one on Kauai, the Hashimoto one that got defaulted and lost the agreement of sale because it would have been a $999 lease. Instead, they were trying to buy the fee, because of the situation, the board agreed that they can stay on a permit, you know, the family on a revocable permit, because the only option we had was public auction. But yeah, I mean, we have about 50 of these, and we're doing our best to monitor them. Yeah. and manage them. There's not much to manage because it's almost, it is pretty much no rent, no insurance requirement. But they still got to come back to the board because it's still in the family, right? The restrictions are, the assignments are to family members, yeah, so.
Okay, Member Char has a question.
I have some questions also. And maybe the question is better posed to the applicant, but it looks like there's one or two structures on the property and the balance of it is doesn't have any structure. So, and I guess also in this case, since two of the other major heirs have died and there's no resolution as to what's going to happen to their shares, how do they work out who's going to possess the house? I mean, if there are multiple people having an interest, an undivided interest, how do they sort out among themselves who gets to use the what portion
structure
of the property or
the
improvements?
Structure. I think that's a law school question, Mr. Char. I mean, that's the nature of real estate and holding it in the way they're holding the property. I don't know. And frankly, I think because they're family, they probably worked it out themselves. As far as the siblings who had passed away from Mr. Raymond Judd, I mean, the way we find it is we require that because it's an interest in real estate. And this is a 1,000-year right to be on real estate. that it passed through the normal procedure of probate, yeah. Unless it was a trust, like I think Mr. Judd at least is trying to have his interest passed through his family trust, his interest, his 1/6 interest, yeah. But maybe Mr. Judd, if he's here, he could answer that question about how does the family decide who pay, you know, gets to reside there. I think if you went to probate court, I mean, it's a whole different ball game, and you would have to have that decided there as well.
Well, we have the representative from the applicant here, and let me invite her in to make any kind of statement and answer any questions the board members may have. Go ahead.
Aloha mai. I'm Dylan Rose Heather. I'm from the Native Hawaiian Legal Corporation testifying on behalf of Mr. Raymond Judd. We respectfully request that the board consent to the assignment of his 1/6 interest in his 999-year homestead lease in Pololo from himself as a signer to again himself, but now as trustee of the Raymond Judd Family Land Trust. Approving this assignment will allow Mr. Raymond Judd to manage and hold his interest in the lease in a trust for the benefit of himself and his family members, which is both contemplated by and consistent with Hawaii Revised Statute Section 171-99E. In fact, and to Mr. Char, your question about conflicts that might arise, there's a specific provision in the statute that allows for transferring one's interest into a family land trust. And in the committee report, when that amendment was made in 2013, the legislature noted that, and the committee found that conflicts often arise between family members having an interest in these 999-year leases, which makes it very difficult for them to manage. So the thought of creating a land trust was put in place as an option for the family governance of homestead land. So that's exactly what Mr. Judd is attempting to do with his 1/6 interest in the property. So thank you for the opportunity to testify, and I'm available to answer any questions that you might have or follow up if needed. Mahalo.
This is more general question. Would you have any position on legislation that would change these things to simply a quit claim from the state? From the standpoint of the state, I don't see what difference the state has in holding a 999-year lease versus giving it up. If you think back what was happening 1,000 years ago, yeah, or 900 years ago, and you think forward how different the world may be in 900 years, Yeah, I don't see a lot of difference there, but just ask if you have a comment on that.
Yeah, I'm sure council and their family would love that. I mean, board member, if I may, and then maybe council, I'll open up to yourself. You know, we've thought about this long and hard since I've been here, and I've talked to certain legislators, and we've brainstormed some options. The one thing I could not overcome, though, was the fairness, the sense of fairness. It's because the way the statute was originally drafted and how folks were required to go through that process and actually pay fair market value. Like in the Hashimoto case, you know, that property probably I think when I was looking at the agreement of sale for the purchase, it was like it's like an agreement to buy. The amount of the fair market value of the land at that time, and this is many, many years ago, was over $100,000. Today it's like in a million. It's an Anini Beach, right? I mean, so. And to allow the conveyance to go free at this point, that's where I get a hard time. That's why I kind of stop. But I mean, if maybe we can have a deeper discussion one day, a working group or something, try to figure out some solutions. Preferably, we'd like to do that, something like that. We're trying to figure out a way how to do it and fairly, equitably to everybody.
But, so your issue is fairness to the group of people that paid money to get the fee simple versus doing it through, because right now going forward, there are a group of people who would be happier. I mean, the possibility of buying it for fair market sunsetted, right? No?
Actually, I can't remember. I'm sorry. I don't know that answer. I know I looked at that issue before. I cannot say definitively it has, but I know certainly today, if we opened it up to allow it, like I may have been thinking about legislation to allow to buy it. What are you going to let it buy at? And fair market is what the prior people had to pay, the full value of the land, as compared to the least fee interest. See, the least fee interest is zero, right? I mean, today. But, and that's where I had that difficulty, right?
Okay, any questions? Any other questions or comments, members, or does somebody would like to make a motion?
So moved, Chair.
Okay, I move to approve from Member Kanto, seconded by Member Uy. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, that passes unanimously. Next, we have Russell, if you'd go to D5, and we do have people from DAGS, I believe, that are, and now representing the Stadium Authority, who are here to talk about this, if there are any questions.
Okay. The D5, our final item, is requesting a cancellation of the existing governor's executive order to the Stadium Authority for the Aloha Stadium area complex. And actually, a quitclaim deed to the Stadium Authority. The legislature passed a law that allowed them to hold title, and DAGS is assisting the Stadium Authority, as I understand, Chris Kinimaka and her staff, and they're prepared to immediately issue a request for proposals and ultimately find a developer to redevelop the stadium area. And I think we've all heard about the plans of a new stadium, a smaller stadium, plus entertainment district with potentially affordable homes and rentals and shops and the like. But Chris is and her staff are here to testify more if you have any questions on that process. So we're asking the board's authority to cancel the executive order to go ahead and issue and request a quitclaim deed to the Stadium Authority and to allow, while that's pending, while the deed is being worked on, we authorize the Accounting and General Services Department to go ahead and issue the RFP. And just so you're assured that, you know, there is going to be a provision in the quitclaim deed that if they no longer need it for their stadium district, stadium development district or related purposes, then the land will revert back to the state to avoid a fee sale. Yeah.
there any questions, board members?
Any questions, members?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I wondered about the reversionary interest. If the property is going to go to the stadium group and parts of it will be used for the stadium and other parts of it, I guess, is what to fund the stadium project. Is that considered sufficient related purpose so that there's the reversionary clause doesn't come into play?
You're talking about the commercial development side?
Yeah, right. Which is not a stadium. And I don't know what it yeah. might be, but yeah. how do you avoid the reversionary clause from taking, reverting back to the DLNR?
I think that's why we kind of worded it that it was that way. Was kind of, we tried to make it broad, the stadium development district or related purposes. And I don't know, I didn't go back and look at the stadium authority's legislation, but what I understand is they have this, not just the authority to go ahead and redevelop this stadium, but to go ahead and issue the RFP for the multi-use of that facility or that site. And I think that's all consistent with the legislative powers that is all of a sudden granted to the agency to develop this particular site. So in my view, I would consider that within the, the authorities of the stadium authority, and therefore it would not trigger. Maybe Dags could help me elaborate on the actual legislative powers that was granted to the authority in that legislation. Maybe that legislation or any other prior legislation. So.
Yes, aloha board and members of the board chair and members of the board, Chris Kinimaka from DAGS, Public Works Administrator. So Act 268 back in 2019 was the first act that recognized the Stadium Development District and was a part that mandated the transfer of fee title from DLNR to the Stadium Authority. But Act 146, just this past legislative session, granted the actual authorities to the Stadium Authority to hold fee title, et cetera, for the property. But that also designated the entire property and the parcels for the stadium to be part of the Stadium Development District, and then the whole Stadium Development District coming under the management authority of the Stadium Authority for purposes of developing the whole district. So I believe what Administrator Suji is saying is that we are okay with the entire parcel being considered necessary for the development of the entire district. And it's correct that our real estate development around the stadium is to support both the stadium and the entire district in operational and management needs as well.
Any questions? And if any of the, we have two other representatives, either of DAGS or the Stadium Authority here, if they would like to chime in at this time or just make themselves available for questions.
Yeah, good morning, Chair. Ryan Andrews, Deputy Manager for the Stadium. And I do not have any testimony or any statements. I'm just here in case there's additional questions. Thank you.
Aloha Kakou, Board Chair and members of the board. This is Mike Limanaka. I'm here as a representative of the Stadium Authority. Didn't have too much to say or share. Just wanted to mention that we appreciate your time and effort in making this a smooth transition. And we look forward to our new role in managing the Stadium District from an asset management and I would say development management perspective. So we are working on a number of initiatives to facilitate this transition. But I'm happy to go over those at a high level if interested. But at this point, really just wanted to say that we're comfortable in the spot right now to take on management, and we're eager to move forward in our current capacity. So thank you for your time and making this a smooth transitional period.
Let me ask just one question, I think, of our staff, and I'll make sure I'm understanding this correctly. And I'm not trying to change this in any way. I just want to make sure I'm understanding this correctly. The board would not have any, the DLNR then would not have any further roles such as consent to subleases and the like. And the only involvement would be the reversionary, potential involvement would be the reversionary interest. That's correct.
At some future date, yeah. That's what we anticipate, because we think the deed will follow through before they ever get to any leasing or even selection, probably, of the developer.
Very well. So, board members, are there any other questions, or what's the pleasure of the board with this?
Move to approve.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, so have a motion to approve by Member Hawaii, second by Member Milan. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes unanimously. Thank you.
Mahalo.
Thank you.
So thank you. That's all for land division. And so we'll move to Division of Aquatic Resources. F1 has been intentionally left blank, and we're going to go then to F2.
Aloha, good morning, board members. Just a second to make sure that we have all our staff members. I'm the DAR administrator, Brian Nielsen. I'm also joined by DAR staff members, David Sakota, program manager, and our Maui biologist, Russell Sparks, is also on the line. So this is item F2. Request for approval to amend and compile Hawaii administrative.
Aloha, good morning, board members.
Okay, sorry about that. So item F2, request for approval to amend and compile Hawaii administrative rules, Title 13, Chapter 51 and 95.1 to update rules relating to the Kahului Harbor Fishery Management Area, Maui, and rules relating to the take and possession of Oama on the island of Maui. And I'll hand it to provide a brief overview of the proposed rule changes.
Good morning, board members. Again, David Sakota, Fisheries Program Manager with DAR. So this proposal is to update a couple of rule chapters. And I'll go over the proposal briefly. For the Kahului Harbor Fisheries Management Area, originally, when it was last amended in 2009, there were a number of rules intended to reduce user conflicts between commercial fishers and recreational fishers or non-commercial fishers, and a fisher check-in station to try to collect data. But over time we've realized that the conflicts are still occurring and the check-in stations have not been utilized and there's no real good way to enforce them. So the main amendment for this Kahului Harbor rule change is to remove a lot of the commercial exceptions. For instance, for commercial akule fishing, commercial take of nehu under a bait license, and other netting exceptions that we included before, and to remove the fisher check-in stations. Basically, it simplifies it and makes it easier for non-commercial fishers to fish there and to comply with the rules. And then for the Oama rules, the intent originally was to allow hook and line Oama fishing, but the definition of Oama was a goat fish under 5 inches. And we've had issues with fishers being cited for having Oama that were 6 inches or, you know, slightly over that defined length of OAMA. So that was never the intent. So under the OAMA amendment, we've increased it to 8 inches, which is the minimum size for the tekelveke, which are the adult OAMA. So the result would be hook and line fishing for OAMA would be allowed up until they're 8 inches long, and it's non-commercial. And we also wanted to include the red veke, veke ula, because they're very similar to the veke a, the white veke. And then once they hit 8 inches, they're considered veke and regulated under our veke rules. So that's the sum of it. This board approved these rules for a public hearing last August, and we held the public hearing in January, and there was overwhelming testimony and support. We did get one testimony that was opposed to the increasing the OAMA definition from goldfish under 5 inches to goldfish under 8 inches. But we feel that there is sufficient protections for juvenile goldfish because of it's non-commercial only, and there's a bag limit, and it's hook and line only. So we're proposing that the board approve the rules as they went to public hearing. There has not been any amendments. So again, that the board give final approval to both the Kahului Harbor FMA amendments and the Maui OAMA amendments. And if there's any questions, I'm happy to answer them, or Russell Sparks is also here who can answer questions.
Members, any questions of staff? We do have, I believe, one person from the public in the waiting room. Before we get to that, I'd have a question of staff just to make sure I understand this correctly. These OAMA and veke rules are Maui only rules, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so on the other islands, you can catch as many OAMA as you want, right?
On the other islands, the limit is still 50.
Okay, I misunderstood that. Okay, it's 50, and what about the 5 to 8 inch OAMA on other islands?
Yeah, there's no definition for OAMA on other islands, so I believe it's under 7 inches for the rest of the state.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions of staff before we go to public testimony? So we'll go to public testimony now. I believe we have one person wishing, who's been in the waiting room, wishing to testify. Go ahead.
I think that's me.
Mr. Tubbs.
Am I correct? Aloha, board members. My name is Ron Tubbs. I've been an aquarium fisherman up until January for 45 years. I have extensive background in helping researchers. Back in the mid-80s, we did kumu collection for Nui Nui fisheries for studying breeding populations. I've also aided other researchers regarding goatfish studies. I support FRA management, and I think this is a great idea, but we also need to work with the fishers, and I believe a lot of communication between DAR and eating fishers is ongoing and continuing, and I applaud that for fishermen. basically, a little bit of input here. There are a couple goatfish species which might be more at risk. They've never been found in high populations. That would be the kumu, which is one fish that we were studying way back in the 80s, and also the purple goatfish. Because those have never been found in high numbers, maybe we should take a look at those for further restrictions. I do believe that those fish, the maximum take size, or the minimum take size, is 9 inches, which is a good rule. So DAR has really already addressed this issue. So once again, I'd like to commend DAR for their efforts, and I do support this FRA management. And I guess that's it, unless you have any questions.
Any questions from the board members? If not, what's the pleasure of the board on item F2? Member Kanto?
Move to approve staff recommendation, please.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, that's been moved by Member Kanto, seconded by Member Yoon. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So that also passed unanimously, and thank you. And we'll be moving on now to L1 engineering.
Party,
can you unmute
yourself?
Yeah, okay.
Hello? Yeah. Go ahead. Okay. Good morning, board members. Cardi Chang, Chief Engineer. Item L1 is a project engineering division is doing on behalf of the Division of Aquatics to plan, design, and construct a new facility at the Waikaea Boat Ramp in Kapa'a, Kauai. That area is currently under the management of the Boating and Ocean Recreation. The executive order to bore is totals approximately 2.94 acres. However, this proposed DAR facility is only going to take up about 0.68 acres of that EO. We're requesting delegation to the chair to procure, award, enter into professional services contracts, declare a project exempt from an EA or approve an EA and issue a FONSI. And third, procure and enter into construction contracts. There's definitely a need for this project. Currently, DAR staff is currently in the state office building on Kauai. It's basically too small and cannot accommodate the number of DAR staff. There's insufficient storage space and is insufficient for their operations. There's no private offices for supervisors to conduct necessary reviews, hold meetings, or operate without distractions. This new facility will be secure. They'll have new modular mobile offices with adequate storage space and will be able to accommodate the needs and functions of the Kauai DAR team. The project will comply with the state's procurement code, governor's budget execution policies, and HRS Chapter 343. There are location maps attached to the submittal for information. We also have Valerie Suzuki of my staff. We have Brian Nielsen, administrator for DAR, and other DAR staff. I see David and Russell Sparks here as well. Aaron Swink and Cameron Shaler may be on this call as well. But any questions, we're available. Thank you.
Go ahead, Don.
Yes, it says that the proposal is funded by PILLA 400 LLC, et cetera. Who is that? Who's funding the project?
Yeah, so that is reference to funds that resulted from fines from the PILA'a, the PILA'a enforcement that was enforced by OCCL.
I understand. So, okay.
Yeah, OCCL has given permission to utilize the funds from that for this project.
Thank you.
Got it. Anyway, the area is kind of almost sea level, yeah? So how are you going to do the septic systems?
Well, that is to be still designed. However, even if you're at near sea level, you still can implement a wastewater system. And I'm not sure if they're going to be, maybe Valerie knows, is there a municipal connection anywhere near there, or are we going to some type of IWS?
No, if you went out there, the public restroom will be on the, next to the bike path is raised real high, maybe about, I would say 15 feet above the ground level, yeah. So I just was wondering how they're going to do it. Because also, that's tsunami area.
Right, correct. So all those things can be addressed. Like, Val, do we know if there's a connection or is the comfort station in that Waipoli part on an IWS as well?
I believe the comfort, the new one you're talking about, right? The one built for the foot, the bike path.
Yeah.
That one is probably septic. I talked to Finn from Dobor. He said it's probably septic, but I believe the for the interim, they're probably gonna do like a containment sewer system because they don't have a money. They don't have money for IWS, and then they'll just have it pumped out. And then I believe Dobor has a project for Waiakea Ramp in the future. When they have money, they're gonna build like a big parking lot, and I think in the future they're gonna do a probably a sewer pump system to pump to the nearby Kuhio Highway sewer system. There's one right on Kuhio Highway. So I believe maybe Dar and Dobar can get a together and finance the sewer pump station for both of them.
Yeah,
I believe they have a future project almost kind of planned for just the paving part, but they have a future project to probably connect to the Kuhio Highway sewer system. But in the interim, I believe a containment system would work best for them for now. You just have to pump it out.
Okay, another thing I was worried about is, you know, you get the Hongganji Church and then you get other structure up the owners along that where they're going to put the building, you know, and if they're going to raise the building, they're going to take in consideration all that property owners around that area where they got to put on retaining walls or put a retaining wall.
Mobile trailers. They're going to bring in mobile trailers.
Okay.
And then I believe there was a building. They're going to build it upon an existing concrete foundation that's already there. So it looks like there was a building already there before.
Okay. I just was wondering if we're going to affect any of the surrounding property owners.
And then the area that they're planned to build up is within the X zone, so it's not in the floodplain. They're not building in the floodplain at all. There's a little triangular area where they can build their area. It's kind of big enough to put in their facility, so they're not in the floodplain at all.
How did they do that? Okay, got it. That's all I have.
We don't have any public testimony. If members have any more questions, otherwise, what's the pleasure of the board?
Move to approve. L1, as submitted.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion from Member Oi, a second from Member Yuen. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes unanimously. And that brings us to the end of our agenda. And I thank you all very much for coming and making this a small meeting. And the meeting's adjourned.
Great job, Chris.
They made it easy for me by
dark meeting.